Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, hello, good evening, and praise the Lord. I am glad you're here with me tonight. Periscope, Facebook, Blog Talk, hello, God is good. Do you know, I am so excited. So much is happening in my life right now. Your prayers are breaking me through all over the place. So I just want to let you know, don't ever think that you're not making impact, because you are, and because you're making impact, I'm able to do the same. This is going to be a great evening tonight. We are going to first, you know, we got to love on Jesus, because you know he got to get his sugar praise. So we got to love on the King, let him know that he's wonderful and he's delightful and that we need him and that we are grateful to him. You know, one of the things I found out is that if you're grateful to God, God likes two things, gratefulness and thankfulness. And so you don't even have to worry about being humble or whatever, because that's almost like a default, a fail-safe for gratefulness and thankfulness. So this week, make it your business to be thankful to God. The only reason people stumble is because they forget to be thankful. Because when you're thankful for something, you cherish it, you guard it, you watch over it, you protect it, you promote it, you push it, you model it. And so this week, model thankfulness and then showcase some gratefulness and see if God gets some glory. He likes that. I'm telling you, he likes it. Well, we are in my office because, well, I just moved. And so my studio is waiting for Prophet Ashley to find the pieces and put it all back together again. But, you know, the Lord is good. He is good all the time. And I just love it. So we're here tonight hanging out in the office. We're proving that we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. And then tomorrow I fly out from D.C. to go and spend a night with Apostle Matthew Stevenson, who's honoring myself and several others for our work in the prophetic, trailblazing, and all of that. I'll be in D.C. All of you all, I'm sure that Prophet Ashley might sneak peek us a little bit, you know. She tends to like to do that, a little sneak peek here, a little, you know. So make sure you listen out for the notification so that you won't miss it and you'll get a chance to see what God is doing. So we have that. And then I come back and I'll be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Apostle's House with Apostle Suzanne Howard is the pastor. And we're going to have a blast there. Every time I go to Connecticut, I have a great time. So hi, Connecticut. I'm coming. I'm on my way. And so pray my strength in the Lord. You know, that sounded real good. You know, when I was a young Christian, I wouldn't have said that because I had all strength. Baby, you get past 50, you start praying your strength in the Lord. Hallelujah. And some of us have to get past 20, but it depends. And after that, I will be in Jacksonville, Florida, with Apostle Dwan Holmes Rollinson at their annual convocation. It's going to be great. I'm a little different because I'm bringing Prophetic Ed Live. Now, those of you who missed me in Joliet and thought, I'm all right, you missed something good. And if you listen to last week's Paula Price Show, you'll find out you missed something good. So listen, get your camel, get your pigeon, get your dove, get your eagle, get your Cadillac, get your Escalade, and whatever else you got, 4Runner, 5Runner, 6Wheeler, 2Wheeler, and get somebody's shoulder. Make it there. Make it to these days. Press, come on, Connecticut, I'm coming back. Want to see you. I want to meet you. We're going to chat. We're going to talk. We're going to share. God has some powerful things to say. Always love going to the Apostle's House. Always. I've always had an amazing time every time we've gone there. This is my second time in Jacksonville, and I cannot wait to get back. I will be there, and if you go online, you'll see all of the other people that she has. She has Apostle John Eckhart, who will be there doing the evening service, but I am teaching day classes. I am breaking open the prophetic, and I'm going to cover some specific things. Not only am I going to address the mantleship of the prophet, we're going to discuss employment, monetizing your mantle, because you know what? Until we can monetize our own mantle, we probably won't be real successful monetizing other people's lives. And that's something we're going to do. And also establishing prophetic guardianship. You need to know how to do that. So those are three things that we're going to break the seal on when I'm there doing prophetic ed. It's going to be Friday night and Saturday. So I'm thrilled. I can't even tell you. I'm thrilled to be there. So go check my website. Go to these websites as well. And make sure you press away. All right? Are you hearing me? Come on. Now tell me. Say, Dr. Price, we're going to press our way. We need you to press your way. Because you cannot change without a change agent. You cannot change without a change agent. You cannot change without a change agent. God wants you to understand nobody changes alone. You deteriorate alone, but you change with a change agent, and you transform with the reformer. You see how that works out? So you have to recognize that some people are like, well, God started and he'll finish it. Yeah, but God uses people. I want to tell you, I cannot say that to you enough, because we come out of this whole other thing where it's just us and God. We're just us and God against the world. You kidding? God is not against this world. He's for it. Trust me, he's for it, because if he was against it, there would be no world. And so, but you cannot change without a change agent. And you cannot even pick your own change agent if you don't know the changes God wants to make in your life. If you have no idea what God wants to turn you into, you don't know who you should turn to get there. And I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I'm speaking to someone that lone ranger, isolated mentality that is going to stagnate you, and it's going to short-circuit your purpose and your destiny, and it's going to stunt your prosperity. A lot of people are not prosperous, not because God's not blessing, but because they think that God ought to come off his throne and handle it personally between the two of them, and that can't happen. God's work is public work. It's public ministry. Public ministry. Write that down. Public. Because if you have a ministry in private, then you don't have a ministry. You got devotion. And a lot of us are in private. Well, I just pray. It's just me and the Lord. But that's great. And God loves that. He does. He loves devotion. He loves worship. He loves fellowship. But you know what? He's a big God with great responsibilities, and he's got to get some mighty things done, and he's got to do it through his people. For God is spirit. And if he wants to get anything done on earth, he's got to get it done through flesh. Isn't that great? Isn't that good to know? So whoever you are, come out of your prayer closet, because you know what? I'm going to tell you about people who stay there. Come on, you want to get a little piece of lesson? Get a little piece of lesson. I feel like giving it to you, so there we go. So let me tell you, you don't realize that shyness will masquerade as closet prayer in devotions. People who are usually shy will still be shy in God. They just find another way to hide out. But you're shy. You feel insecure. You feel inferior. And one way to beat shyness and insecurity and inferiority is training and education. Because when you train that weak side of your character, those weak courage muscles, they become very competent. And when they become capable and competent, guess what they become? Confident. You probably didn't know that. Isn't that great? I teach my people that all the time. You don't understand. I can't prophesy in public. You're shy. That's shyness. The same shyness. And you trainers, recognize shyness. You know, I'm on tonight. I told them I wasn't going to be, I wasn't sure I'm moving, if I was going to be on the thing. I'm already fired up. My stuff is flowing all over the place. I'm prophesying and breaking, sealing, assessing, and carrying on. But listen, you trainers, recognize a shy prophet. Recognize a shy minister. Don't let them say, well, I'll just sit back here. You do it because you're shy. But guess what? You cannot be a shy prophet. Those two are mutually exclusive. You can't be a shy apostle. They're mutually exclusive because God's ministry is public. So you're going to have to learn how to deal with the public. You're going to have to learn how to speak publicly. You're going to have to learn how to feel really comfortable with the public. And I'll give you a secret. Do you want a secret? I don't know. You all want a secret, because I can give you another clue. That's just another little clue. They want a little clue? Okay. When God said, perfect love casts out fear, you don't realize what that was. A real powerful statement. When you love the people you're ministering to, there's no room for you. Because when love squeezes you out, then shyness goes out the window. And nervousness and insecurity goes out the window. When you are self-conscious is one of those kind of soft, prideful things that we think are okay. No. Shyness, self-consciousness, they are all meant to rob you and rob others from what God put in you. Boy, am I good tonight. I am on it tonight. Okay. I'm having a blessing. So I need something. I got nothing to throw. Like I see, I'm not in the studio. Guys, throw something for me. Somebody, y'all just somebody, just throw something for me. Just take a picture of you throwing something so I can see that something was thrown. Glory to God. So here's the deal. You want to stop being shy and nervous and insecure? Then beef up your love for other people, not just your love for God. Beef up your love. Beef up your concern for what they're going through that God put in you to serve and God put in you to help. So whoever you are, I just gave you a nice healing message to deliver you from shyness. Perfect love casts out fear, and shyness is fear. Fear of people's faces, fear of feedback, fear of criticism, fear of all of that. Many critics are critics because they couldn't be cowardice or they couldn't beat their fear. Not all, but many of them. And they sit at home and they criticize and they sit at home and they fuss because something great in them was turned off. Somebody turned it off. Somebody crushed it. Somebody stepped on it when they were just trying to fill it out, when they were trying to find it out and discover themselves. They stepped on it, and because of that, they became critics. They're not really criticizing you and me. They're criticizing the person who robbed their dreams, who crushed their hopes, who crushed their confidence. So you have to understand that broken people break people. You realize that, right? Sick, you think about it. Sick people make people sick. Broken people break people. Sad people depress you. They're not trying to. It's what they're offering. And when we can get people back into that wholeness, when we can get the foot of mom and the foot of dad's criticism or the foot of the coach or the foot of the teacher off their neck, they're going to become giants just like the rest of the people of God who believe in him. Perfect love casts out fear. And if you fear, it's because you've not been made perfect in love. When you begin to love the Lord with all your heart and then love him to the point that his issues become your issues, his concerns become your concern. And how about this? His love and affection become yours. When you begin to do that, life changes. I'm telling you, life changes. And when you love people enough to know that they deserve better in life and you have a piece of that better, shyness leaves. So I don't know who I was talking to, but I decided, or God decided, since we gave him, I gave it to him tonight. I told him, God, you have to do it all yourself tonight. Clearly, he decided to go another direction. But you have got to understand what God is doing. So whoever you are, just Facebook me and or tweet me or whatever we do and pair with something, comment, whatever, and let me know because people need to know when God is speaking. You realize when God stops a moment for you to deal with your issue, he's already delivered you. You just didn't get the news. Many people are delivered but never been taught what their deliverance looks like, so they can't act out their deliverance, so they still behave in their captivity. So God has set you free from nervousness and shyness. You can't do an interview. You can't go for a job. What if my tongue speaks wrong? Well, then practice your tongue. Your tongue is smarter than Moses got over it. We're still talking about him and his tongue, and he might even change wrong. God said, I made the tongue. Well, what if I don't remember? Then study till you do. Because when you look at something often enough, it becomes automatic. Automatic. If it's not automatic, it just means you need to look at it some more. Not that you're not good at it and not that you're not called to it. You just need to keep working it. I've written some of my books, Help Me, Jesus, 10, 12, 20 times. It just kept going through, purging it out, purging it out, purging it out, making it flow, getting that flow. Because the only reason you're stuck is because your ability or the capability that you need to use or exercise has not been uncapped. Think about it, uncapped. Capability, cap ability. Capacity, cap capacity. Think cap capacity. You have to understand capability. Capacity, C-A-P is the beginning of it. We need to uncap some things in you all. That's why I do this. We have to uncap you. Because and you can't just be uncapped with the sermon. And trust me, it's more than just laying hands on you. You know, I've had people want to say, Brother Price, just put your hands on me, I'll be all right. No, you shouldn't have faith in my hands being on you. Because all I'm going to do is awaken. The uncapping comes from your exercising what you've asked me to awaken. You got to work it out. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So I just wanted to give that before I did my roll call. Is that all right? So whoever you are, let me know. Meanwhile, roll call, Prophet Ashley.
All right, we got Fort Knox, Kentucky. Gainesville, Florida, Bossier City, Louisiana, you know.
Oh, my God.
Albany, Atlanta, from Georgia. I do know that. Fayetteville, North Carolina, said presence for duty.
Hey, North Carolina.
North Carolina, New York City, Clarksville, Detroit was reporting for duty.
Yes.
I know the Apostles House crew.
Yes.
Tuning in and definitely commenting.
Oh, saying
as well.
Amen. Love you, Apostle House. See you soon. Okay, Norma.
We have El Paso, Texas. We have Jamaica.
I got, see, my Alex, loving on you guys. Loving on you.
Alabama. Douglasville, Georgia.
Woo.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. We're going all over the place.
Tomatoes.
Oh, my God. Okay, you guys owe me a vacation. Between Trinidad and Jamaica and Barbados, I need to get a vacation out of this air.
London, England.
You know how I feel about the UK. Love it. Thank you for tuning in.
Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Oh, that's new. That's a new one.
We have New Orleans here as well.
Yes, love New Orleans.
Tulsa's
now. Homegrown. That's my family here. Hey, Tulsa, we have got to get together, so find out how we can connect here in Tulsa.
We have Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes.
We have Trinidad.
Remember, you all on me on vacation.
Gulfport, Mississippi.
Oh, that's something new, too, isn't it?
Yes. North Dakota.
Brandy new. Ice country. I want to go to the Dakotas one day, just because I just don't want to go in the winter.
Right.
I don't want to go. Well, did you want to add any more?
Oh, yeah, we have Port Huron, Michigan.
Oh, that is new. Yes, hi, Port Huron. Welcome.
All right, Stamford, Texas.
Yes.
We have Lake Helen and Pensacola, Florida.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Lexington, Kentucky. Chicago, Illinois is also in the house,
ooh,
as well as, of course, Paris, Tennessee.
Yes. You know, we got to get to Paris somehow. We'll just go through Tennessee.
Okay. It's not domestic.
Absolutely. Everyone, thank you. I love the roll call, and I love hearing who God is adding on and signing on, because it's amazing. We're doing something powerful. Tonight is Discipling Apostolic Christian Night. What I'm going to do is we're going to have a little bit of a review. Because so many new people are joining us, I'd like to go back and let you know why we're doing this, who we are, what we're doing, and what you're going to do with it. Now, I intend to watch out, because within the next, sometime in mid-October, we're going to have that webinar we told you about. Prophet Ashley is already scheduling the date, so you'll watch your email so that we can make sure to include you, all of you all who text that number, who said, I want to know more about it, because I want to help you. Two things I want to do. I want to answer all of the questions that you need answered, so, hey, bring them on, because I am going to answer them, number one. And number two, I want to instruct you on how to either transition to a house of apostleship to become an apostleship church, or how to found one, because I know God is going to birth a lot of apostolic Christianity churches, because we are going to be apostolic Christianity, because we got to do it. We've got to do this for the King. And tonight I'll begin to tell you why. So, moving on, hallelujah. You know, I just love the Lord. Let's find the little mouse thing. Here he is. Okay. Are we turning to the screen? You know, I like finding some apps for you all, since you all appreciate it so much. So this is the fresh news. We're going to begin to understand the apostleship. Now, I want to say this, and in my class, I usually teach this over and over again. I use the term apostleship more often than apostolic, except in the case of the title of this show and class, because apostolic has been around. It's a little confusing, so we don't want you to confuse that, but apostleship speaks to reestablishing the office and establishing it in its place, rightful place of authority. So that's why I use that phrase. Now, we looked at this a little bit last week, so I'm gonna magnify it some so we can all read it. Hallelujah, because I sure need to read it. Okay? And I want to just read this scripture, the Apostles' Doctrine. You cannot have apostolic Christianity without having quality Apostles' Doctrine. Okay, and they continue steadfastly in the Apostles' Doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, which is Acts 2:42. However, now Paul is talking about the uniqueness of Apostles' Doctrine. However, when we are among mature people, we do speak a message of wisdom, but not the wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this world who are passing off the scene. Instead, we speak about God's wisdom in a hidden secret, which God destined before the world began for our glory. If you're listening to me, I want you to write in your notes, before the world began. It's important. We're going to want to address that in just a moment. None of the rulers of this world understood it, because if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You can go on your own time. I got that from the International Standard Version, ISV, and you can look up, it's 1 Corinthians 2, 6-8. So we'll talk about that. Wisdom calls apostles. Wisdom is a hallmark of apostleship. So let's look at apostolic Christians as we begin to go through our review. Make sure you tell everybody to get on board now, because we don't want them to miss this class. Three things: guard, govern, and guide. Apostles are about guarding God's kingdom, governing his ecclesia, and guiding future generations. Guard, govern, and guide. Very powerful stuff if you pay attention to it. Apostolic Christians, therefore, guard the king, his kingdom, and his ecclesia. They guide citizens, generations, and culture. Boy, that's good. I got to take a moment. Hold on. I'm just, oh, Jesus. That is so good. I got to lean back on that myself. Glory to God. You know, isn't that rich, rich stuff? You know why? Identity is the key to destiny. When you don't know your identity, you cannot recognize destiny. If it slapped you in the face, moved in, and rolled you flat as a pancake, you must know your identity. That's one of the reasons why I developed this segment, because in your character is your destiny. In your makeup is your destiny. In your DNA is your destiny. In your experiences, in your life, in your ups, your downs, your failures, your shortfalls, your setups, your setdowns, and setbacks. Every one of them contributes to this massive, delightful apothecary called your destiny. Every single one. But you have to have the right change agent who can tap into that. Because with the wrong change agent, you will all of that will be criticized, it'll be abused, it'll be exploited, it will be neglected, it will be disparaged. Every time you turn around, you're failing, because you can't please the wrong change agent. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with the change agent, and there's nothing wrong with the two, except you two shouldn't be together. And sometimes it's just that simple, people. Some of you all are burnt out by mentors because you chose the mentor who couldn't see you. You were invisible to your mentor. You were invisible to your leader. You were invisible to your trainer. You were, instead of seeing your potential, what they saw was your helpfulness. Kept telling you all of your service. You kept talking. You were constantly being told to serve, constantly being told to suffer, constantly being told to sacrifice, and you got nothing in return. A real mentor knows you. I'm telling you, a real mentor knows you. They know, and trust me, one of the things that, oh, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but somebody get happy because God is setting a captive free tonight. A real mentor knows you, and they celebrate the journey of your life that put you in front of them, that brought you to them, and is entrusting you to them. They celebrate it. I know it, and believe me, I, being who I am, I've lived this thing. In my book, Eternity's Generals, I have a whole piece on the back, in the back of the book, on this. But let me tell you something. Your God-ordained mentor knows you, and they appreciate you. And there's nothing that you can do that's disappointing to them, because they recognize they've already gotten the work plan from the Holy Ghost. They've got it laid out, knocked out. They know you. There's not one mentee have I taken on personally that I did not know. I knew them. I told them who they were. My folks do not walk around identity lost. I don't have anybody in my sphere walking around identity lost except the few that won't come home for dinner. I've got some that just never come in. They're always outside playing. Blessed they go. Thanks, fine hearts. Always outside playing, trying to get them to come in. Street like dinner. Won't come home. Every mentor has those kinds of things. But your real mentor knows you, and they know the gaps and the rips and the tears, and they treat you like a fine garment, and they mend you, they cleanse you, they wash you, they stitch you up, they literally refinish you and refine you. That is what should happen. You should not be a mentor, be with a mentor who is tormenting you. And a lot of you all have been tormented and not mentored. I don't know why I'm going here either, but you know what? When I'm fatigued, great things come out my mouth. We gave it to Jesus. We let him talk. Hallelujah. And apostles are supposed to be master mentors. Think about Jesus Christ taking 12 men who just were just kind of almost misfits in life, certainly people who were looking and searching, because God does not assign you to a mentor without first giving you a hunger for one. The first thing, come on, somebody, can I just go here with you all a little bit? I want to linger in this well for a moment. God will never give you a mentor before your realization that you need one. And it's not just because you went to somebody's meeting and you heard someone say, but there is a thing in you. You're not ready to be mentored. Hallelujah. Come on, King Jesus, King Jesus, King Jesus. You're not ready to be mentored until you're ready to submit to another human being, and you can only submit after you've honestly admitted what you lack. If you can't admit, you will never submit. It can't happen. Because how can two walk together unless they are agreeing? If you don't agree with the fact that you need something, you will never submit with the supplier. You can't. So whoever you are, you're wrestling with your mentor, and you're acting like you know it all. I read so-and-so's book. Let me tell you something about reading a book and being taught. Not the same thing. When you read a book, you are the tutor, the teacher, the trainer, and the assessor. When you're taught, you have to submit to someone else, and you have to reach out and come up to the guidelines that are set for you by the other. I can't even tell you. I have people say, Dr. Price, God told me to be mentored by you. I was like, are you kidding? You made 3 phone calls and got lost, and you think I don't know that you're, oh, come on, you're not ready, because you're not ready to admit you need what I have. Everybody that you allow to mentor you, you must be able to admit to them you need what they have. And you have been told by God that they have it, and you're willing to do something very powerful. I don't know why we're on this subject tonight, so somebody on Periscope, Facebook, Blog Talk, one of y'all asked God about mentorship, so let me go on and be used by the Holy Ghost. So you all have to recognize the other thing a mentorship requires, and that is, I'm going to go here. It requires exchange. Exchanging of your hope, your perspective of you. If you are defensive with your mentor, you're not a mentee. You're a trainee, maybe. And there's a difference between a trainee and a mentee. There's a difference between an advisee and a mentee. I'm talking to somebody tonight. There's a difference between a tutoree and a mentee. See, so some of you all should not have been in a mentorship. You should have gone on and take up the classes and then went on back to your life. Because a real mentee wants to be like the mentor, because that's the whole purpose of mentorship, reproduction after one's own kind. And so I have a lot of people who say to me all the time, you know, you've been mentoring me with your books, and that's true. That's wonderful. Roll with that. But understand, what I wrote is what it was captured in a single season. An ongoing mentorship keeps evolving. And it keeps developing. As that mentor keeps pouring into you and you keep drawing from that well, it keeps opening up, and that fountain with your name on it begins to become an endless flow, an endless stream of logic and wisdom and intelligence, strength and courage. And you want to know the worst time you can have with your mentor is when you fail them and they must rebuke you. What you do with a rebuke from somebody you know God connected you with determines whether you fulfill destiny or whether you go and take a knockoff. And some of you all have taken downgraded destinies because you can't stand to be told what to do. You cannot stand to be told. You can't stand for anybody to correct you. And if God gave it to one person, he gave it to it all. If that's the case, we'd all look alike, walk alike, talk alike, stand alike. None would be tall, none would be short, none would be fat, none would be thin, none would be old, none would be young. We'd all be the exact same thing. There's a reason why he has diversity, because he's a very diverse, very variegated God. So if you want to, whenever you have those moments, where you have knocked heads with your mentor, and it's human nature. You have to understand what you do at that moment determines whether you take a downgraded destiny. Be careful how you hear, because but the same measure you meted out is what will be measured back to you. So if you can, if people cannot give you fullness, then you're not going to get fullness. Some of you are walking on the 30-fold mentorship trying to ask God to give you 100-fold blessing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to Saint Somebody who going to Saint Somebody's church. Okay? But I'm telling you right now, you all who have, you've dropped your assignments, you've dropped your mentors, you've left your pastors, you've left your churches, and you didn't have any reason to, for doing so except hurt feelings. Thin-skinned people don't fulfill destiny. You don't. You can't because you're too busy in hospice. You're always fluctuating between the ER, hospice, and rehab. ER, hospice, and rehab. You can't stand. Come on, I know what I'm talking about. I got to make it plain for the saints of the Almighty God. Because, see, y'all smart Christians. Smart Christians need smart talk. So you need to find out. And the minute you admit your part in this thing, God will cleanse you. He will set you free. He will begin to sanctify you and tap the next person he wants to resume your training. Stop dropping out. Whoever you are, you've dropped out and dropped out and dropped out. You're going to drop off the planet and never reach your point in God. Stop dropping out. Suck it up. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be great. You cannot be great without being graded. When God grates you with powder, he said if this stone falls on you, you're going to turn into powder. God must grate you before he makes you great. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to get back to this in a minute, but whoever you are, God wants to tell you, you are not going to charge God with neglect because he won't tell you who your mentor is when you've walked over three. Whoever you are, you've literally thrown away three mentors. Someone else threw away seven. Somebody, God gave me somebody to mentor, and I was going through trying to do it. All of a sudden, you know, they were done or whatever. I went to God, and God ran down the list of all the mentors this person has trashed. And he said, I can't find the right mentor for this person because not one thing I approve of do they agree with. See, God has a mind, and if you are not with the right person, you don't know what's on his mind or what he thinks about what just happened. And you just go on with life, except that wheel begins to slow down. The momentum slows. The light dims. You know, you started out with a stadium full of lights, and you're now into a little candle flicker. The light is dim. So whoever you are, first, I'm telling you, I'll do a webinar on mentorship because I want you to have it and I want you to understand. I have a book on it. I wrote about it. I cannot tell you the book yet because I have to redo it. So don't call and ask it. See, I know you guys. I can't throw things out there to you all because y'all be grabbing gold. And so, but listen, whoever you are, you're contemplating walking away from a very good mentor. I've talked to people like that. I said, but no, you had a good mentor. God says your mentor was right, and you had an issue. Ask yourself these questions. Do I find it difficult to take instruction? Can I take true critique and even criticism? There are some times that God will push people to bore a hole in your soul because he's got to let the pus out. Sometimes he's got to do that. And I want you to catch on to this because some of you all, you have very good mentors, and you broke their hearts. You left distastefully. You left irreverently. You left disrespectfully, and you left them with nothing but, again, someone else who made a withdrawal and did not give a comparable deposit, let alone harvest. I said to you a few moments ago, mentorship is about an exchange. You've got to make up your mind what you're willing to give to fulfill destiny. Because a portion of what you were willing to give goes to that mentor. If you don't sow to your mentor, you will not sow to your service. And you won't sow to your ministry. You're going to be the handout minister. Give me something for nothing, something for nothing, and something for nothing. Great people are not just great because they rose. They're great because they fought and beat the odds. They're great because they made it their business to know what they have to know. They're great because they made the connections that they should have made. And let me tell you something. Nobody gets to the next level without somebody at that level coming down to get you. You can talk about it all day long, but it's like your corporate office. You cannot go up to the top floor just because you want to see what they live like. I want to see what they look like up there. Nobody wants you to see, which is why they're not even on your elevator. In order for you to go to the next level, you need to do that. I said to my daughter when I was sending her to college, I said, sweetheart, I tell all my young people this. They don't often listen, but the few that did, God bless them, they've done well. I said, sweetheart, when you go there, don't go there getting hung up with the people who don't need an education, don't need a degree. I'm just here because those people that are going to help you come from no place and end up nowhere. So don't get hooked up with that. I said, but connect with those, your professors, and find out the one that God has assigned to mentor you, because they know folk and they can make your life a lot easier. Don't go there and say, I'm not going to be flunky or whatever, because let me tell you something. The judicial department and the law can make it all of that, that's fine. But let me tell you something. You got success requires a sacrifice, and it's always an exchange. And you're going to have to exchange something that's valuable to you in the present for something that's more valuable to your future. And that's how it goes. It's always about, life is about an exchange. God exchanged his son for your soul. Every day, God exchanges the sun for the stars and the moon. Life is about exchange, and you're going to have to realize that this whole idea, that's why people, your money is all crazy and carrying on. You want people to teach you, and you don't want to pay a dime. So the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. You don't want to pay for anything, but you want people to pay for you. Life is about exchange, my brothers and sisters, my family. Life is about exchange. And you've got, when you're entering a mentorship, you've got to make up your mind what you're willing to give to it. And if you are a family person, that's a very hard mentorship to have. You know, family leaders, you know, whatever your minister, whatever, you have a hard time being a mentee. That's the hardest mentee. Now, I'm not going to get into that tonight because that's going to be in my webinar, but you have a difficult time being a mentee, which is why we always try to educate folks before they start taking on family. Because trust me, the things that your mentorship requires, your family may not understand. That's a big deal. So we've got sacrifice, we've got submission, we've got admission, we've got understanding, we've got exchange. Those are all powerful elements. And the most important of everything that I said tonight, as far as your mentorship goes, is that you've got to be willing to come under your mentor's wing. And you've got to be honest about it and admit your stuff. You've got to admit your soul stuff. You know, the Bible says every heart knows its own bitterness. Now, that's a scary thought, because it's somewhere else it says we don't really know how to find our destiny. And another thing, we don't know how wicked we are. But every heart knows its own bitterness. The sorrows of your soul are real. And when you go into a mentorship, you've got to be honest about that. And you cannot choose a mentor who cannot relate to your suffering. That's why Jesus is a faithful high priest. They've got to be able to relate to your suffering. They've got to be able to relate to how you got there. I used to have people when I'm, you know, I was trying. You know, everybody kept saying, well, don't you know you need to have this? I was trying. It's very hard to mentor a me. And I don't say that arrogantly, but those of you who have looked at my work, et cetera, you understand what I'm saying. But it's very difficult, just like not everybody can raise a genius child, a very bright child, or exceptional child. Only certain parents can do that, because that brilliant child is doing what they do. And yet, if with the wrong parent, that the parent will call them disrespectful, will call and the child be on punishment all the time, and eventually they're going to kill that bright light. And so I would sit down with people because I so wanted to comply with everybody. I'd sit down with them and see if I can be mentored by them. I couldn't. They would rebuke me all the time. They would tell me that I was arrogant. I was puffed up because I was smart. And for the better part of my ministry, I didn't know I was smart. I just kept saying it was Jesus. What Jesus said, what he gave me, what he told me, I did not know that. I really did. Even as a kid, I didn't know. Because black people just do what they do. They don't know that it's more or less. And so if you are, you better make sure that you have a mentor who can relate to what God put in you and who you are. And then sympathize with all of the ups and downs you have. You know, you have to be sure. You have to make sure that if you're a woman, you need to make sure that you're not trying to be mentored by a chauvinist. Because sometimes, no, I'm not trying, I know, but you know, everybody has somebody. This is not a put down thing. thing. This is you looking out for your destiny and your purpose, because you will work and work and work and work for years, and you will never get acknowledged for it, and you'll never get recognized, although you'll always be appreciated. You will always be appreciated. Your sacrifice, we love you, sis. You did great. Smooches, this is great. Come on, let's give a hand. Let's give you a hand and not a credential. That's important. You better make sure that you're not with a liberalist if God has told you to do something else. In other words, you need to make sure who that is. I had to deal with that. And this is, and you don't have to criminalize people because they're different from you. God has everybody, every member doing their share, but it's up to you. You know, you go and pick the right doctor for the right reasons. You have a profile of your doctors. You think about your contractors. You look and you investigate them. Why not your destiny? Why give 4, 5, 10 years of your life to somebody who is incompatible with you and cannot even tap into your raw capabilities to enhance them to professional capabilities? Why be with someone who can't hear you and is not tender when you cry, who cannot understand the suffering or the struggle that you're having being born, trying to be the like the little chick, cracking out of that eggshell? How hard it is, how tedious it is. There's some of you, you need to know that, and you need to be willing. I don't take on folks as a mentee easily for that reason. Because I'm a woman of finishes. When I start something, I'm going to finish it, which is why I don't commit to a lot of things, because I know. And I know that I'm not going to do it halfway, so I don't start. But if God tells me this is my mentee and you can talk to every one of them, then I take that on, and that's a real thing. And I know them. I sit down with them and say, this is who you are, but because of who I am, of course. But if God doesn't tell you who you're mentoring, you shouldn't mentor them. You're not the one he chose. If there's no insight or revelation on who it is, you shouldn't mentor them, because you're just going to clash and you're going to waste each other's time, and the mentee is going to walk away bitter and frustrated and feel cheated, and they're going to think God didn't rescue them, that God did this, and he didn't. So whoever you are today, let me tell you, your mentor has got to have an ear for you and a heart for you and be interested. Because when you have the right mentee, they're appealing. They appeal to you. Your mentees are delightful. I find mine delightful. They're delightful people, even in their quirkiness. And I help them work through all of that because they're mine, because God put them in my soul and he put them in my spirit. And so my psychological self has been processing them before I even meet them. And I enjoy them when they mess up or whatever. I just enjoy them. And you can talk to any one of them, and they'll tell you how I do this. But I care. If I don't feel like God put you in my soul, then I'm not going to take you in my sphere of life as a mentee, because I'm not going to be helpful to you. And I'm not trying to just rack up numbers. I'm trying to produce powerhouses, because I'm up for that. I want superior saints. I don't care what anybody else says. I want superior saints, superior ministers, because it's only the superior that can help other people come out of the inferior. I want superpowers in God. The Bible said God stands in the congregation of the mighty, not the mighty. And so I stand there with God, and I want him to stand in the congregation of the mighty, and I want to contribute to the mighty ones in the earth that he has. I don't know if this is speaking to anybody, because the Lord has switched this for his glory. And I'm going to, you know me, I'm going to go with the Holy Ghost, because, you know, he's my sugar. Now, you know, we got to get a sugar what he wants. But he wants you to understand, I didn't choose a lot of those mentors. You chose them because they were popular. You chose them because they were renowned. You chose them because they had money. They were prestigious. You chose them because they even paid you. But they may have paid you in cash, but they did not trigger your currency. And cash and currency are not the same thing. The currency is what you bring to the deal. The cash is what you exchange it for. And so not everybody can trigger your currency. Not everybody can go in there and your wealth reservoirs and your wealth reserves and pull them out and show you how to bring that thing out and turn it into the prosperity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the potentiality, the potency of the Lord. That's my job. I don't have an issue with having to have a bunch of people just to say, I got 1,500 folks that I don't know, can't call, and I couldn't pick out, I couldn't even help them out of the fire because I wouldn't recognize them as mine. I don't have that. I want people who want to be potent. I want people who know God has a potency in them. I want people who are not afraid to do what it takes to be great because that's what it takes. And I want people who have the patience to wait for the precious fruit of the earthen vessel that they're in. I want people who understand that it takes work, it takes study, it takes labor, it takes tears, it takes all of that because we talked you out of the real work of becoming somebody by telling you that this God's yoke is easy and his burden is light and if it's hard, it ain't God. Well, that wasn't true. It was hard for God. It wasn't easy for that man to get on that cross. It wasn't easy for him to be beaten all night long. It wasn't easy for the angels that came to the planet with him to watch their maker go through that. That's why half of them couldn't figure it out. Well, they desired to look at him. What is going on? Why do you have to go? What is my name that you are mindful? God put his son through a lot. And he said, Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered, which is what made him qualified to become a faithful high priest over those who came to God through him. And he was able to succor them. I've not seen that a lot in my ministry. Now, I know it exists, didn't cross my path a lot. But it did. But the absence thereof did not stop me from wanting it to belong to the people that God gave me. Your mentor has got to be able to tell you your journey. Maybe not in full, vivid, blow-by-blow detail, but they ought to be able to tell you how your life went. And because of how your life went, why God chose you to be mentored by them, by him or her. It's important. Now, I know people say you can have a lot of mentors, and I agree, depending on where you are, you can have a lot of mentors for who mentor you for issues and situations. But life mentors, you only get one. That's why so many people, when their life mentor goes home, see, we've downgraded to the spiritual mother and father, and there's nothing wrong with that because I have a lot of spiritual sons and daughters. But I want you to understand, even your spiritual mother and father is supposed to mentor you because your natural mother and father has to mentor you. So your spiritual mother and father are not just there to make you, they're not your grandparents in your life, you know, let you get away with everything. They're there to get you into purpose and to make you potent in purpose. Write that down. My mentor is to make me potent in purpose. Potent in purpose, not passive. And some of you all are just passively looking at your purpose, just pass on by. God wants to change that for you. But you have got to change first. You cannot come to a mentor that you will not admit you need. I can't even tell you how many people come to me and say, well, you know, I don't really need this, but I'm just here to get. And you know what I do? I don't call them anymore. I'm like, I'm done. I'm a busy woman. I got a whole lot of things that I've got to get done before I leave this planet. But you've got to admit that because if you don't admit you need your mentor, you will not respect them. In your mind, it's a contest. And every conversation will be a contest. Tit for tat rival. They say one thing, you say one thing. They say they had a revelation, you had two. They say God gave them this for you. You said, I already knew, he already told me. See, that's useless. That's useless mentorship. And Dr. Price won't do it. I've had people, especially, you know, young prophets and apostles, well, you know, God already told me, you think with that little bit you got in your devotional closet is ready for the public platform, and it's not. They come as a germ. Everything God does for us is a germ and a seed. But you need that mentor. You need that change agent. Because you cannot change without a change agent. You have got to have an agent of change and someone who is good at changing people from what they were to what God needs, who's good at helping people survive the ups and downs and ebbs and flows of life. You need somebody who is very, very good at calling you into purpose and calling you out of vanity, out of frailty, out of inferiority. You need that. Change agents don't just tell you there's something new down the street or they've got a new message and a new style. A change agent, and you will always know a change agent because you can't leave them. Remember, Jesus, after he met Peter and Andrew and all of them, Jesus is going home. He looks around, they following him. He said, well, where y'all going? Where you going? we're just going to follow you, Master. And they followed him, and he taught them. You can't get enough of your mentor's words. You can't get enough of their training, their unction, that anointing. It keeps feeding you and feeding you. Why? Because it takes a lot to form a human being. How much more a spiritual one? It takes a lot of nourishment to form a baby in the womb. How much more a spiritual one? If you are with a mentor that you feel you must compete with, that is not your mentor. If you are with a mentor who does not inspire your respect, that is not your mentor. If you're with a mentor that you cannot listen to, that you doubt, whose integrity and sincerity you doubt, that is not your mentor. Are you all hearing me tonight? Because this is important for somebody. That is not your mentor. Likewise, if you're with a mentee who can't show up on time, can't finish a task, can't finish a project, that is not your mentee. That might be an advising. That might be a counseling. But that is not your mentee because your mentors literally are very similar to you. They're very symbiotic with you. You're with someone who we can't get a thing done. I just thought I would. Dropping this, dropping balls and whatever, those are not your mentees. Not unless they're early. If they're early, that's one thing. Because early, they have to learn you. They have to learn the rules and understand how you do things. And I want you to get this. If you're with a mentee who every time you turn around, they have an issue with you and you have to have a deep talk with them, that's not your mentee. Because everything you're pouring in them, they're spitting it out. Because mentees are hungry for the mentors that God assigned. Mentees are hungry for the mentor that God assigned. That voice, that person's voice may get on everybody else's nerves, won't get on theirs. Everybody could be fussing and fighting. They're like, yeah, but I don't have. And this is what happened to the real mentee. But I'm not having that problem. Well, you know, and did you know he's so and so? And did you know she's this and that? Yeah, really? I never noticed that. If you've got a lot of criticism for your mentors or your mentees, you don't belong together. You are babysitting someone else. Someone else's mentee, that's what you're doing. And I wanted you to hear this. Well, actually, God did. I gave it to him, so he decided this is what he wanted to say. But I wanted you to hear this because I wanted you to understand that your destiny is your duty, and you should perform your due diligence in exploring who you're going to trust it to. But you cannot do that if you're not clear on what God put you in the planet to do. You've got to know that. It's got to be clear why God put you in the planet. Why are you sucking up his air? Why are you walking on his ground? Why are you using up his dust? You have to know that because you won't respect your mentor's efforts or methods or training or approaches if you're without that information because you'll see them as totally useless. You know, we always like the little Karate Kid thing, the little useless. We saw use wax all the way. That was just big, you know, back a few years ago. But, you know, God has his own form of. There are things that your mentor will do on purpose that make absolutely no sense to your present, but could be life-saving in your future. Because mentorship, like education, any other development, is always for your future. In the present, it seems like it makes very little sense unless you are very aware of who you are. There are a lot of self-aware people out there who are very astute and aware of who they are, why God made them, and why they're in the planet, so they can really blend and they can submit and fuse with the quality mentorship program, but not a lot of people. And it's important that you do that. Mentorship is a very costly thing, not just in dollars and cents, but in time and sacrifice, postponed dreams, postpone hope, and it requires enormous faith, faith to know that your obedience to what God has called you to do will pay off. But you understand it will pay off in the degree that you have committed yourself to it. If you were a 30% mentee, you're going to get a 30% harvest. If you were a 60% mentee, you're going to get a 60% harvest because God is not going to give you excess for less. And if you were a faithful 100% mentee, you're going to get 100-fold in this life. You're going to, in other words, and that's just the way it is with anything. It's not even just Christianity or church. It's just how the kingdom is built. A little bit of effort, a little bit of harvest. because you can't get a harvest on what you don't know. And if you don't know it, you have to learn it. If you refuse to learn it, you can't get a harvest on it. And it's required. And I'll tell you this, she tells me I only have a few more minutes. We looked at the screen and it says, Apostolic Christians guard the king, kingdom, and ecclesia. That's not magic, people. You have to know what it is to guard a king. You need to understand what your role is in guarding God's kingdom and his church. And then you guide citizens. The reason why the Christians in the world are confused, no guidance. And the guys they had, what he said, what the scripture called them blind guides, they didn't know which way God was going either. So everybody was just feeling their way in the dark. And then generations. We have a whole generation here that could care less about how God thinks. They don't care about righteousness, holiness, or whatever. You know, a good number of them, not all of them, because we got some quality people out there. And then culture. Why is culture saturating in the church? Because the guides that were going to guide the decision makers and guide the approvals and disapprovals of what is and is not God, they were gone. Or either they were underdeveloped. And underdeveloped people, leaders, cannot make highly developed people. You will never, and Jesus said a disciple is not above his teacher. And I'm telling you, I know that you hear people say differently, but Jesus knows what he's talking about. The man has been raising people for ages. But what he is saying is that the peak of your teacher's knowledge is your cap. My peak becomes your cap. That's what he's really saying. So your mentor's peak becomes your cap. So you have to decide how far you want to go. And not everybody can wants to be where I am, and I'm okay with that. I promise you I'm okay with that. Not everybody wants to be with where your mentor is. But you need to know how far you want to go, because only two things are going to cap you, your commitment and your mentor's development. Hallelujah. How'd I do, Prophet Ashley?
Outstanding.
Outstanding. Yeah. How were my people talking?
Outstanding. Oh. They needed it. This is God.
I said, this is God. How are we doing with time?
We
have 2 minutes. How about you, Norma? How are my people doing over there with Periscope?
They needed it. Thank you so much. It's powerful, great teaching. The body of Christ needs this teaching.
Amen.
You came all the way through like a mighty rushing wind. That was my favorite. Right there.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, well, don't forget, this is Tuesday. We'll be doing the Paula Price Show Thursday at 11 a.m. It'll be, what, noon Central, right?
It'll be noon Eastern.
Oh, noon Eastern. Okay, same time. No time change. I'll just be in a different zone. You guys stay where you are. Don't move, okay? We'll be there for the Paula Price Show, and then in the evening, we'll probably have some spots in terms of what's going on in the ceremony with Apostle Matthew Stevenson, wonderful young man of God, great young apostle of God, growing and just being groomed beautifully by the Lord. So until that time, though, I'm going to have to leave you. But remember, look out for when Prophet Ashley does the schedule of this mentorship webinar, because it's a series of three, so it'll be three in a row, but you'll love it. Would you like a mentorship webinar? Would you all attend? Will you participate? All right, then encourage me and let us know, because, you know, we have to know what to invest in and what to put our efforts on and what not to. And so if it's going to do something for you, then I'm well, thank you, Cookie. And so we're going to do all right. You know, that's my girl. She keeps me right on 90, you know. But I want you to let me know. Dr. Price, I would be glad to have a mentorship program. I would be glad to come to participate in a mentorship webinar, and we'll take it from there. All right, I'm done. Good night.
We're clear.